The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
What up, what up? Hour number two, the Max Kellerman Show on a Friday. Michael Leaves in for Max today, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. And also a shout out to everyone checking us out on Sirius XM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Going to take more of your calls. And also you can hit me on Twitter, at Michael Eaves. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Last hour we had Brad Turner talking about the Lakers situation and the possibility of maybe Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan joining the Lakers in the offseason for a run at a championship. Of course, Lowry won a title with the Raptors in Toronto with Kawhi Leonard after DeMar DeRozan was sent to San Antonio, but DeMar could return home and win a championship with the Lakers. Jordan Schultz also would join us coming up on the Goodyear Hotline to talk about that possibility as well. But news out of the NFL, a couple big stories. Number one, let's start in Green Bay. You already know what's happening with Aaron Rodgers and his uneasiness with the front office right now. And he says it's not about money, but for whatever reason, he does not want to play, seemingly, in Green Bay this season, and no idea if he's going to show up for training camp or not. Comes the news of Devontae Adams breaking off talks with the Packers as he was trying to get a contract extension. He's 28 years old. He's the number one receiver on the Packers, scheduled to be paid a base salary of $12.25 million. He can make an additional $500,000 in roster bonuses, blah, blah, blah. The final season of a $58 million four-year contract he signed 4 years ago, but he's also said that his future with the team could be impacted by the uncertainty of Aaron Rodgers coming back for another season. So you wonder how much of that played into the contract negotiations that Devontae Adams was going through with the Packers right now, because right now he would be the 18th highest wide receiver, 18th highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Clearly his production over the last couple of years, including this four-year contract, he's a Pro Bowler the last 4 years, would suggest he's better than the 18th best wide receiver in the league, but he couldn't get that money. But also how much of that for him has to do with the fact that he didn't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be there next year. So he's like, all right, cool, I'll play this year and go somewhere else. What is going on in Green Bay if your quarterback and your number one wide receiver are unhappy with what's happening in terms of their agreements and relationships? Also, assistant coach Rick Dennison for the Minnesota Vikings out of a job because he's refusing to take the COVID-19 vaccine. It is mandated for coaches, executives, staff members to get it. Players don't have to. It's a different set of rules for players under a collective bargaining agreement. But as a coach of a team, you have to get that vaccine. Rick Dennison says, I'm not getting the vaccine. So thus, he will not be coaching the offensive line for the Minnesota Vikings this year. What do you say to that? 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. You can also hit me up on Twitter, at Michael Leaves, the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. But let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Mike. Hope everything's well. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Sports is a special entity. It's not a typical business where you have options. So much right. You're special. You treat it differently. If you got to get vaccinated, a year ago, you didn't want to wear the mask. I think you should be wearing a mask even when they're playing the sport. But that's just me. Get vaccinated or just lose money then. Why should it affect everybody? Most people are getting it. It does not guarantee, right? But it just makes it harder. And also harder to accumulate stop the effects of the COVID. It's just really crazy. This has been a kind of a godsend. So I make a big political thing about it. I don't know of any bets that have arisen but in this country from it, maybe one or two. But the chances are you're getting hit by a car or...
Well, Mitch, that's what a lot of people have been arguing in the whole discussion of whether you should get it or not, okay? And wherever you fall on that, oh, fine. To a degree, I don't care what you do personally unless it starts to impact me directly or indirectly, okay? Then we can have a different conversation about that. But as it relates to professional sports and these leagues and these teams, they are trying to run a business. And in their mind, the best way to run their business effectively, in the NFL's case, is for everyone to get the vaccine. Because if that happens, it greatly reduces the possibility of an outbreak preventing the playing of a game. And if you have a game that's not played, you're talking about losses of millions or maybe tens of millions of dollars. And the NFL is like, yo, don't mess with our money. If you mess with our money, we're going to mess with yours. So if you want to be a part of this, this is what you should do. Coaches, staff, they have to do it. Players, they don't have to, but if they don't, there are consequences for those actions as well in terms of what you have to do. It's a choice. It is clearly a choice that players have to make, coaches have to make, or in some cases, players may force the teams to make. Let's take Cole Beasley, for example. So he's on Twitter calling himself the best slot receiver in the league. That's a different conversation as well. But he says he does not want to retire. He feels as if he's going to have to be cut because he's going to play and he's not going to get the vaccine. So what does that do for the Bills? Are these teams going to start looking at the possibility of cutting players because they don't get the vaccine? And the last thing these teams want to do is forfeit a game and be responsible financially for making up those losses. Now, some players, some former players have already brought up that idea, especially for the fringe guys, right? Unless you're a star player, I mean a star player, is it worth having them on the roster if they don't get the vaccine and it increases the likelihood that a game could be forfeited as a result? What are these NFL teams going to do? And one issue that players will have in that regard, again, especially the fringe players, we know how NFL contracts work. It's real easy for NFL teams to cut players compared to the other major sports because of guaranteed contracts. The NFL knows this. They understand the locker room dynamic. And they understand if you impact people's pockets, you can change their behavior. And that's what they're trying to do right now in the NFL. They're trying to force these guys to get vaccinated without mandating that they do. Let's go to Shannon in Ohio. Shannon, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, brother.
Hello?
Yes, Shannon, we got you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't think it should be mandated. It should be a person's choice. So kudos to him for sticking to his guns. There's people that have religious beliefs. There's people that have personal beliefs. And, you know, if everybody's vaccinated, but one or two people or 10 people on the team, and they have the person that don't have the vaccination comes down with it, the other ones shouldn't have to worry about it. I mean, what are they going to do, have symptoms or test positive, but they're supposedly not going to get sick? So, you know, it's just a – to me, it's just another way for them to implement trying to make it mandatory for everybody, or you can't go here, or you can't go there.
Shannon, I appreciate the call. Now, what you said, it's exactly what they're trying to do. They are literally trying to change your behavior because you are making a choice not to do something. So if you make that choice, there are consequences to that choice. One of them is you will have different protocols compared to the players who are vaccinated, and if you lead to an outbreak of COVID within the organization and a game is forfeited, you will cost everyone money. So you are absolutely right. They are doing that. But to your point, there's also a choice in this situation because you don't have to play. And in Rick Dennison's situation, you don't have to coach. So there is a choice. You can't say that the leagues are forcing you to do anything. They're making you really consider doing it without legally mandating you do it from a player standpoint. We'll take more of your phone calls a little bit later here on the Max Kellerman Show, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And also hit me on Twitter, at Michael Eaves. But let's go to the Goodyear Hotline. Jordan Schultz, who covers the NFL and NBA for us here at ESPN, joins us now. And Jordan, you've seen some of the player reaction to the memo from the NFL yesterday, and clearly we've seen some guys on Twitter talking about it. Like, how are you summing up what you've seen from the reaction standpoint?
So, obviously, you know, the big one was D-Hop, and he says, I'm going to have to reexamine my future. But here's the thing, Michael. The biggest problem I see from having spoken with a number of players around the league and a couple executives is that there's not a lot of trust. So the players don't really trust the owners. And when the owners or the executives, the GM, say, here's what we need from you or here's what we expect from you, it fuels that distrust because there wasn't a lot there to begin with. So when I think it was Alan Sills, who's the chief medical officer, he said that, you know, he wants all the players to have the proper information. That's one thing. That's fine. And they should have the proper information. But the issue really isn't that. It's the fact that the players don't believe that the owners have their best intentions in mind. And as a result, you're seeing guys saying they're skeptical of taking the vaccine. Obviously, there's other issues as well, but that's one of the main problems that I'm hearing over and over from players.
Okay, but Jordan, check this out. Players realize that owners do not have their best interests in mind based on the way the contracts right. are set up. Let's be real. Okay, let's just start there. You already know they don't have your best interests right. in mind. The number one interest and number one priority for the NFL and its owners is to make as much money as possible. And what they don't want to happen is what happened last year, jumping through all these hoops, trying to get these games rescheduled and pushed back time and time again. They want the schedule to go as it is, and they're trying to do everything they can to make that happen. What a lot of people are a little, you know, puzzled by is where's the union on this whole thing? Because I haven't, right. correct me if I'm wrong, Jordan, I haven't seen the union say anything in the wake of the NFL's announcement yesterday.
Exactly. But also the problem is that when the last CBA was negotiated, they couldn't have, you know, foreseen there'd be a global pandemic. So there's no precedent. So the union is sitting back right now, trying to be patient and come up with a statement that is, you know, that it's okay for the owners. In other words, they don't want to offend the owners so much that now there's more pushback and it creates more tension. So the reason we haven't heard from the union is because they're just like everyone else trying to figure out how do we protect our players and make sure they have a choice when it comes to the vaccine, Michael, but also that they get their money as well. I mean, the NFL has obviously already gone to the extra week. We have an extra game that was not particularly well received within the players, but it was bargained for. So now you have this, and you have unvaccinated players who don't want to lose their jobs. And that's a big, big concern. And then you would say, okay, why not just take it? That's probably what the owners are going to keep saying. If you don't want to play, if you don't want to take the vaccine, we'll replace you. And that's why the owners, at the end of the day, Michael, still do have that leverage.
Jordan Schultz, ESPN NFL and NBA insider, joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Michael Eaves in for Max Kellerman today. But again, so Jordan, you're absolutely right in everything you're saying, and the players understand that. If they don't, then they're just naive to a point that is baffling, because you get into this business knowing full well how the NFL operates. It's about the shield and everything else behind it takes precedent as the owners and leagues see fit, right? Whether it's contracts, players' health, whatever. So if you're a player, and the point I was raising earlier, especially if you are a fringe player, the possibility of you getting cut because you didn't get vaccinated is very, very high, because these teams are not – they don't want to be in a position where games get forfeited, and from them trying to win a championship, they get an L in that column, and it could impact them in playoff seeding. Like, you have to understand that if you're uncomfortable to the degree, Jordan, that you don't want to get the vaccine and you're willing to give up a salary or a job in the NFL, so be it. But the choice is yours.
100%. And the you're absolutely right, and that's kind of the crux of it, because it's not just, Michael, the act of 53. It's also the practice squad guys. Like, I've talked to a couple of those guys as well who have been in the league 3, 4, 5 years. You don't get your pension unless you're in for 5 years.
Right.
And the average player plays less than 3. So the fact that these guys are getting so concerned about losing their job, not just on the 53, but that practice squad. I mean, for a lot of guys, practice squad for 8, 10 years is how they get by. I mean, they won't even get activated, but they'll still get good money. And those guys can be very easily replaced. Now, The union, when they kind of reevaluated everything less than a year ago, they decided that if you don't get vaccinated, or I guess to say less than 6 months ago, if you don't get vaccinated, that you still technically have your job. But to your point, it's not the stars, it's not the second string guys, it's the guys that are the back tail of the roster and the practice squad guys that are going to get cut for much cheaper, younger players who are going to take the vaccine. And that's probably the biggest issue that we're looking at.
Yeah, again, it all boils down to money. And if it gives them a greater...
Money always. We know that.
Right, you know what I'm saying? If it gives these teams a greater possibility of not forfeiting a game, these fringe players are going to get cut if they decide not to take the vaccine. Jordan Schultz, ESPN NFL NBA insider with us here on the Max Kellerman Show. And while I have you, Jordan, we got to talk about the Lakers real quickly, because earlier we had Brad Turner from the LA Times on, and he was talking about the possibility of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan potentially joining the Lakers. But you had some information about there being an issue within that Lakers locker room that really got worse and worse as the season went on, including the first round.
Yeah, so, you know, when the Lakers brought in Dennis Schroeder, they thought that he was going to be their table setter and the guy, Michael, that would allow LeBron to not relax but play off the ball more. And, you know, he was another guy that could, like a Caruso, could make plays, you know, off the bounce. And it didn't really work out, especially in the playoffs where obviously Schroeder kind of tanked. And, you know, as the season wore on and as we got to the playoffs when the Lakers lost to the Suns, I was told that, listen, it's never going to be perfect between certain players, but the real erosion on that team was the relationship between Dennis Schroeder and Kyle Kuzma, and that had a negative impact that spread almost like a virus throughout the team. And it's not the sole reason why they lost to Phoenix, you know, give Phoenix their due, but when you have a guy who is a massive contract in waiting in Schroeder and Kuzma who thinks he's a star but isn't quite there, that's not a good thing. And I think it took a lot of energy out of that building. You know, you ask people around the league about the Lakers when they won the title in the bubble. They had that great chemistry. And, you know, obviously winning fixes everything, Michael, but right. They never had it this year. They had injuries, of course, but the Schroeder-Kuzma thing was a real issue for them.
You know, the thing that gets me about that, Jordan, is that, look, I don't care where you're talking about, what sport, what organization, whatever, there's always going to be some type of, I don't want to call it a rift, but let's say lack of chemistry between employees, right? Just because you work in the same place and you're trying to accomplish the same goal doesn't mean you're going to vibe on every level, okay? So this happens each and every year with every team in some capacity. But to the point that it's the level of stature within the team of these two dudes that could lead to issues that could be detrimental to the locker room is puzzling to me, because where's LeBron, where's AD to go down and squash that? It'd be different if LeBron and AD were beefing. You know what I mean? Like, how is Dennis Schroeder right. and Kyle Kuzma beefing to a level that is negatively right. impacting what's going on? How is that allowed to even happen?
You're absolutely right. And the fact that it did happen and festered speaks to, you know, the fact, the lack of a, I don't want to say a leader, but you can't squash something like that. It's one thing to have AD and Brown, but if you can't squash something like that, it will fester and get worse. And I think what made it worse is that Schroeder turned down, I don't know the exact number, but he turned down a significant contract extension, and they offered it two or three times. It was kind of on the table throughout the year from the Lakers. And I think when he turned that down, coupled with the fact that he was, you know, not getting along with Kuzma as well as a couple other guys, it really hurt the team chemistry, the dynamic. I mean, we just talked about the NFL and the locker rooms and some of the divides with the vaccine, not taking it. In the NBA, that locker room is shrunk to 12. So when you have primary players, I mean, not stars, but primary guys like Schroeder and Kuzma feuding and guys saying, well, why can't they get along? It's not a recipe for success.
Understatement. Like, understatement. And to me, that says so much about what was happening in that locker room. Granted, you have injuries and things of that nature, but yo, I can't. If I'm a star player in the league, I can't have Schroeder and Kuzma beefing to the point that it's becoming detrimental for what we're trying to accomplish. Like, we're gonna squash that real quick. If I'm LeBron,
especially Michael, when Schroeder, you know, he wants that mega deal, he didn't perform, he turned down deals throughout the season, and Kuzma just signed a pretty nice extension,
right?
You know, and he's not happy either. It's a tough one. I mean, I know that we covered the Lakers at length, but don't you feel like it's not just an easy fix for them? It does feel like there's a lot that needs to be done.
No doubt. Jordan Schultz joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show. Be sure to follow Jordan on Twitter at Schultz Report. Jordan, appreciate the time as always, man. Have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. Thank you.
All right, still to come here on the Max Kellerman Show. Has Jenny on the Block turned a new leaf? No Doubt is next here on the Max Kellerman Show. The football offseason is always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80. Michael Eaves in for Max today. If you want to get an idea of how NFL players are reacting to these new COVID guidelines and how they're falling on different sides of them, go to Twitter and find the conversation between Darius Butler, Marcus Cromartie, Jerry Hughes Jr., and now Cole Beasley. You will understand the potential divide that all these locker rooms are going to have. There's going to be some fights. I don't mean necessarily fisticuffs, but there's going to be some altercations because there's potential these dudes are going to be losing money, and professional athletes don't play that. In case you missed the news earlier today, Cleveland's Major League Baseball team announced a new name, and it sort of came out of nowhere in terms of the timing of the announcement. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later. 888-SAY-ESPN, that's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of these.
No doubt.
All right, time for No Doubt here on the Max Kellerman Show on a Friday. Raj, what you got for me, bruh?
Man, let me tell you, Mike, on this show, you know, we love to celebrate birthdays, so we got a birthday in the house.
Okay.
That's right. The first one is J-Lo. That's right. J-Lo turns 52 this weekend. Now, let's see. I'm going to say to you, so all you got to do is say to me after I tell you something, No Doubt or Nah, son. So yep. Here's what I'm going to say. J-Lo is ready to settle down. Ben and J-Lo will last this time.
Nah, son. Look, J-Lo used to be my number one for a long time. She no longer holds that position. And a lot of it has to do with just her choices in men, dog. Like, I'm judging her because of it. Real talk, I am. And maybe that's unfair. Like, you know, look, she can date who she wants to, live her life, blah, 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 blah. But it don't work out enough for me to suggest this one's going to work out, even though it is a repeat. You know, oftentimes when you circle back to an ex, it works out much better the second time than the first, or you get there and you're like, you know what? This is why we didn't work the first time. So I'm going to bounce. Right. It felt real convenient coming off of A-Rod probably for her. And we don't know what's going on with Ben and his life, but nah, son, it ain't going to work out.
All right. No go. Hey, guys, we got another birthday. Kyle Malone hits 58. So what the end of you is, if Carl had a ring, he'd be considered the best power forward ever.
Nah, son. He would not be. And I said this on Twitter. This was a couple weeks ago. And look, I don't care how you feel about a player's stature based on championships. The best all-around, most skilled power forward in the history of the NBA is Charles Barkley. It's not even a conversation. There's no other player who played that position that could do and did what Charles did. Nobody. Karl Malone never handled the ball the way that Charles Barkley did. Tim Duncan never shot from outside the way Charles Barkley did. And none of those dudes were 6'5 doing it. He was 6'5 going up against dudes like Kevin McHale. There were 6'10, 7-footers, and he was dogging all of them, including Karl Malone. At their prime, Charles Barkley was a better player than Karl Malone. I don't care how many points Karl scored and where he ranks all time in that regard. Charles Barkley is the best skilled all-around player in the history of the NBA at the power forward position.
Wow. Say it with your chest. I like that ease. All right. Hey, another birthday. Happy 56 to Slash. I don't know if you like Guns N' Roses or not, but that's one of my favorite guitars. So I got a question for you. Appetite for Destruction is a top 10 rock and roll album ever.
All right. First of all, I'm down with Slash as a fellow swirl we represent, so I'm always down with Slash. Axl Rose, I'm not down with currently based on some things he said, but when that album first came out, it was everything to where I grew up. Now, granted, I grew up in the country around a bunch of white people, so that album played constantly for about the better part of 2 years when I was in high school. But nah, dog, it's really, really good. Like, it has cuts. It's got, like, it runs. For a rock album, dog, it runs. Mm-hmm. So, no doubt, it is definitely in the top 10.
I agree with you there. All right, last one here. Last birthday for this. Woody Harrelson turned 60 today. That's right, Woody. Hey, now, I remember from Cheers, obviously. That's where he got his name. But Woody, in terms of movies, will always be best known for White Men Can't Jump.
Nah, son.
Nah. Okay, what you got? What you got?
For black people, yes. For white people, it'll be Haymitch Abernathy from The Hunger Games. Because that movie had multiple sequels that he appeared in, and way more white people saw The Hunger Games than they saw White Men Can't Jump. So to black people, yes. White people, which is more of them in this country than are black people, he will be Haymitch from The Hunger Games.
Majority wins. All right, I'm fair enough. All right. What else you got for
Raj, you know what I got for you, though? Bruh.
What's that?
My birthday was Tuesday. We didn't get no love on No Doubt for my birthday this week.
Oh.
That's messed up, bro.
Happy birthday.
That's messed up. I come all in. Right. I help y'all out. You know, in a couple of days of sitting in for Max, I can't even get any love for my birthday week. I see how it is.
I got one for you. Michael Leaves is the best swirl at ESPN.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Ah, there you go. Go ahead. I love it.
No doubt.
No doubt.
All right, that's No Doubt for the Max Kellerman Show here on a Friday. We want to take more of your calls before we get to the top of the hour. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But I do want to talk about one thing real quickly before we go to our next break here, because there was an announcement from Major League Baseball. Let me rephrase that. There was an announcement from the Cleveland Major League Baseball team that they were changing their name to the Guardians. Now, look, it's not a surprise that they are changing their name based on the fact that what's happened over the last couple of years, well, not just with Cleveland recognizing that their mascot and their logo were offensive to marginalized people in this country, Native Americans, obviously, more specifically. And there was going to be a reckoning, and they were starting to change it. But the name sort of came out of nowhere. The name change announcement came out of nowhere today. So it caught a lot of people off guard, and they're called the Guardians. The script and everything really looks the same, so it's really just the name. And you have to read the story. You can go to ESPN.com right now and find out why Guardians was the reason. But I've also seen, again, every time we have this conversation about changing mascots that are based on marginalized people in this country, and there's always this section of society who thinks that they shouldn't have to change it. And to me, I don't understand it. Either you are just willfully ignorant to why it should be changed, or you just like the idea of using marginalized people as mascots. There's really no other reason why you would say, oh, there's no reason that the Cleveland should have to change their name. There's no reason the Washington football team should have to change their name. Oh, there is a reason. There's a really good reason. And if you had any compassion or understanding whatsoever, you would know that. But we keep having this conversation when these things happen. Ray Halbritter from Oneida Nation was on with Jeremy Schapp earlier today on Outside the Lines on SportsCenter, and he reminded people of why this is so valuable for Native Americans specifically.
This has been many years in the making, and we're very pleased to watch another professional sports organization move forward to make this change. The Cleveland baseball team, like the Washington football team, are choosing to stand on the right side of history and demonstrating that long-standing traditions denigrating Native Americans can give way to positive ways forward.
What's wrong with that? Positive ways forward. Like, that is clear. That should be the goal for everything we do in this society. Okay? But you really want to stand on that hill and die on it to say that these marginalized people should be used for mascots for professional or collegiate sports teams? That's where you want to go with it? It's just asinine to me to even have the conversation, but good on the Cleveland team for doing it. Now they're the Guardians. It's going to take a while for a lot of people to get that into their minds. It's not going to go into effect immediately. But good for Cleveland. We are evolving as a society, and that evolution has to continue. Coming up next on the Max Kellerman Show, the opening ceremony for the Olympic Games happened earlier today, local time in America, last night in Tokyo. The games are underway. But do you even care? That's coming up next here on the Max Kellerman Show. Also, we're going to see if the Dodgers are going to address their closer situation this weekend. Yet another blown save for Kenley Jansen last night. This MLB weekend preview brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma Money. Progress starts here.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Michael Lee's in for Max today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Going to try to get in a couple phone calls before we reach the top of the hour. But first of all, summer games, news, and notes brought to you by California Almonds. Representing your country or representing your trivia team, almonds are natural fuel for the best of you. California Almonds, own your everyday, every day. The opening ceremony of the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, you may have seen them earlier today here in the U.S. Of course, we were supposed to have it last summer, pushed back because of COVID. And I don't know where you stand on the Olympics. I am a fan of the Olympic Games. It is the largest gathering of international culture in the world, and it happens every 4 years. The Summer Games, to me, are a much bigger deal than the Winter Games because you have more of the entire world participating in the Summer Games than the winter sports. My first Olympics was in Rio back in 2016. I also went to South Korea for the Winter Games in 2018. I was going to go to Tokyo last year, but because of COVID and everything being scaled back, I did not go this year. But now that the Olympics are officially underway, based on everything that's happened with the controversy or whether they're going to allow fans to go, people from other countries now couldn't go, are these venues going to have people there to watch them? There are only like 1,000 people at the opening ceremony. Do you even care that the Olympics are going on this year? Based on everything that's going on, there was even a protest in Tokyo during the opening ceremony because a lot of people in Japan did not want the Summer Olympics to come this year because of the rising number of cases within that country. But for you as a sports fan, for you as maybe just a potential fan of the Olympic experience, do you even care? We've had the news about players from the NBA for the U.S. national team not being able to go because they contracted COVID. Other athletes from around the world not being able to go because they contracted COVID. Some moms having to pull out or weigh the decision to go because caregivers and their children couldn't go, even though some of them may be breastfeeding. Like, all this is happening, and it's really starting to overshadow what is supposed to be a world spectacle. So do you care about the Olympics? And as much as I hate to say this, I don't know that I do. Not as I normally would. Do I want to see USA basketball win another gold medal? Of course. And if they don't, will it be a deal? Yes, but it won't be as big of a deal because of the way these Olympics were constructed. Do I want to see Simone Biles go there and dominate again? Abso-freaking-lutely. But if she never competed this year, we would still consider her the greatest of all time. So I don't know if I care as much as I normally do. And I'm not sure what that says about the Olympics in general and maybe even going forward. Once we get past this whole pandemic and it moves on to Paris and comes to Los Angeles, and I think it's going to go to Brisbane at some point as well down in Australia, maybe we'll get back to that feeling. But right now, I don't feel the same way I have in the past about the Olympics. The first Olympics I remember really witnessing was 1984 in Los Angeles. I remember the 1980 boycott, but I didn't really watch it because there was no Team USA representation. 84 was huge. You had stars emerge from 84. And then going all the way up to this year, it's always been a big deal from a viewing standpoint for me personally. Dream Team in 92, obviously, in Barcelona was a big deal. But this one doesn't feel the same. And I'm not sure if I'm alone in that regard. It'll be interesting to see what the ratings are for NBC, although that doesn't always tell the real story. But will we be watching the same level we normally do? For the athletes that go and compete, I hope the experience for them is everything they wanted it to be, because you are not guaranteed to reach the Olympics. You may be the best in the world at whatever that discipline is, but there's no guarantee that you reach the Olympics, and once you get there, there's no guarantee that you win. There's been countless examples of that through the years. But for those athletes who go there and train their entire life to get to this moment, the pinnacle of their careers, for them, I hope it is that same feeling of an Olympic experience. But for me as a fan, I just don't have it. And I think that's okay, because everything that's been going on, we've been dealing with, and we've been like pushing through and going forward, trying to get through this pandemic and have these sports and have this feeling as fans. Like, it's good because a lot of people's livelihoods are tied to it, including mine, obviously. But the feeling of it for me, just as a fan, isn't there. And I hope the athletes don't experience the same thing that I'm feeling right now, because they deserve their Olympic experience regardless of what they had to go through to get it. Thanks for hanging out with me the last couple of days here on the Max Kellerman Show. Appreciate the time as always. And again, don't forget, tomorrow, National Tequila Day. Cheers to everyone who is experiencing their favorite tequila. I'm going to throw back some Blanco something somewhere. Guaranteed that. Also, see you later tonight on SportsCenter. I'm Michael Lees. Thanks for hanging out here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.